worship God.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Everybody. Amen. 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 You know, I feel better all over than anywhere else tonight. I'm feeling good in God. Hallelujah. And running the risk of sounding presumptuous, which is a bad sin, so I'm not going to be presumptuous, but I have a method behind what I'm going to say right now. Where's Brother James? Brother James, all right. Now, the reason...
Are you ready? You got him?
Okay. You're going to need a piece of paper tonight to take some notes if you're going to get the maximum benefit from what I'm teaching tonight. I'm not being presumptuous. If you don't write it down, it didn't happen. I developed a habit of keeping my Bible and a piece of paper and pen beside my bed, because in the night I would dream I was preaching and the message would be there, and in my sleep I would say, when I wake up, I'm going to remember this. And I'd always forget. So I'd just wake myself up and write it down, because that way I didn't miss anything from the Lord. So just raise your hand. The ushers are here. You can be seated. Praise God. I love the Lord tonight. I'm so excited about the goodness of God. And while they're passing out those papers, if you'd open your Bibles up to the book of Psalms, the 138th Psalm, and the book of Job, the 23rd chapter. Psalm 138, we'll be reading verses 1 and 2, and Job 23:13. Praise God. The word of the Lord reads like this: I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Make note now. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. I want you to pay attention to this. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me. All right. Then turning to Job, just a few pages back in your Bible to Job, the 23rd chapter, and verse number 12. Job said, now this is Job in his deepest trial. Neither have I gone back from thy commandment, the commandments of his lips. Here's the important point. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. Anybody here like to eat? Some of us it shows more than others, but I used to have a real high metabolism rate. I could eat anything I wanted to, as much as I wanted to, and I never gained weight. Those days are past. Amen. I want to teach tonight, and I really want to preach. This is burning like a volcano in my soul tonight. But we're just going to try to put a cork on it and just go slowly. I want to teach tonight how to develop steadfast faith. How to develop steadfast faith. Now, Romans 12:3, it says, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. But we have to learn to develop steadfast faith. Praise God. You can be seated. I realize that in the 2 years that I've been here, I've been privileged to minister several times. I didn't come here expecting to minister. I came wore out and burned out. And I didn't know for sure if I ever wanted to preach again. I was just tired. But I'm here to tell you, I don't feel that way anymore. I don't know what God's got in store for me, but I know He's not done. And I'm excited about it. I just wish He'd tell me what He was going to do. And so I realize in the almost 2 years we've been here, this will be the fourth time that God has spoken to me about preaching on this subject. Now, when I was a young preacher and a young pastor, I thought, I'm going to get up there and I'm going to preach on it one time and that's going to take care of business. Well, it didn't take too long to figure out that that didn't work. And so, how many times did you work on your memorization of your your multiplication tables? Do they still do that in school? No, they all got calculators. Anyway, or computers. I have a passion for the people of this church. Not just this church in general, but specifically people here. I have a passion for the saints of God in general. That we would receive healing. I have a passion for that. I'm not criticizing anybody. Please don't even go anywhere near what I'm fixing to say next. I'm not trying to criticize anybody for going to the doctor or taking medication or to put a guilt trip on you. I'm not against the medical profession. They do wonderful things. They help people constantly. But I do have a passion for what my God said. And that means more to me than anything else. It's what God said. And so, you may not realize it, but healing is a major doctrine of the New Testament church. There's not much said about healing in the Old Testament. There's only a few healings. Naaman and the widow's son. There's just a few mentions of healing in the Old Testament. And there's a reason for that. The reason is He had not been wounded for our transgressions or bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was not upon Him. And He had not received stripes yet. Okay? So it all rests on that right there. Okay. Healing is a major doctrine in the New Testament. Yet, you hear very little teaching and preaching on it. Now, I've been in the United Pentecostal Church 40 years. I've been preaching longer than that, but I've been in the United Pentecostal Church for 40 years. Healing is mentioned in passing when someone gets extremely ill, they got cancer, or they're about to die of a heart attack or something. All of a sudden, there's an interest in healing. And we're real passionate about it for a little while. And then we go back to business as usual. And the results of not hearing teaching and preaching on healing, the results is we are experiencing fewer and fewer people being healed. Now, I became pastor in Ventura, California in 1981. And I was in a restaurant with a neighboring pastor on Sunday after, after church eating lunch in Sizzler. And the pastor, he's gone on to be with the Lord now, but tremendous soul winner and a man of faith. We didn't always see eye to eye on the word, but I'm going to tell you, we did see eye to eye on soul winning and faith. Okay. And so we were eating together, and he told me, he said, "Brother Allred, I just read an article in the Los Angeles Times, Sunday edition. This was in the mid-80s. It was an article about a very large Pentecostal denomination. Since it was a new newspaper, I'll tell you who it was. It was an article about the Assemblies of God. Now, that's a Pentecostal group. They're Trinitarians, but nevertheless, they believe in the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit. And the article, he shared this with me, and it shocked me. The reporter said that in the 60s and the 70s, that 75% of the members of the Assemblies of God had the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Now, the reason it was only 75% is because they did not believe you had to have the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues to be saved. They believed when you accepted Jesus, you got the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ. And when you, later on, you may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it was only viewed as a gift. It was not viewed biblically. And so in the 60s and 70s, 75% of their members had the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. In the 80s, and this, so that was in the 60s. In the 70s, only 50% of their members had received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. And in the 80s, which was where we were at the time, only 25% of their members. It didn't mean the church had shrunk. They had grown exponentially. But only 25% of their members had received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. You say, what was going on? I'll tell you what was going on. They quit preaching, "You need the Holy Ghost." And if you don't preach it, you don't get it. You get what you preach. If you preach the devil, you get the devil. If you preach, it's hard to live for God, it's hard to live for God. Those are all lies, so you just believe in a lie. And so, while it is in the Articles of Faith of the United Pentecostal Church International, if you get one, pastor's got one, you look in there, one of the tenets of faith is divine healing. One of my friends who was up in the officialdom of the United Pentecostal Church, jokingly I called it the Vatican. Hazelwood. Jokingly, it's called the Vatican. Jokingly. Now, pastor, you know I'm not like that. Okay, so I'm just saying jokingly that he was high up in the organization. He is my close friend. We communicate by phone and text message and in person. I love him dearly. He's been a tremendous blessing to me. I'm not going to tell you who it is. It's not important. But this well-known person in the United Pentecostal Church, while we were in a discussion on this subject, he said, there are more people. Now, he had the ability to know what was going on across the fellowship. So he had knowledge of the intricate workings of things, okay? And he said, there are more people not healed than healed after prayer for healing. Think about that. across our constituency, there are more people not healed than healed after prayer for healing. I want you to contrast that with what you read in the book of Acts. Wherever the gospel was preached, people were healed. When Jesus walked the earth, I want to challenge you tonight. I want you to read through the Gospel of Matthew, and you take a highlighter or a pen. As you read through the Gospel of Matthew, I want you to underline or highlight every verse you find in there that says similar to it. It's kind of given a paraphrase of it, but it specifically says it too. Multitudes came to where Jesus was, and he healed them all. It would say, he cast out spirits and healed all that were sick. He opened blind eyes and healed all that were sick. Now, my text tonight said, he has magnified his word above all his name. Now, in a oneness apostolic church, we are absolutely 100% sold that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We know that the word says that whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. He said, in my name ye shall cast out devils. Okay? So the Bible, the name of Jesus is everything to us. And yet, why did the writer say, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name? Is there a contradiction here? No. We would not know his name if it were not for his word. And he said his word is forever settled in heaven. And there's a scripture that I can't. Oh God, touch my brain. He said, all of his counsel would stand. That's not the way it says it in the Bible. His word shall not turn into a void, but it shall accomplish all that I choose. That's what the God of glory said. I can't quote it again. Tell me what it said, Brother Fisher. My word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish all, not part, not a little bit, not today and not tomorrow, but he said, my counsel shall stand. It will not return again void. It will accomplish all I choose. And so tonight I want you, the reason you got paper, if you don't have any, you better get some. I want you to know concretely, positively, without a shadow of a doubt, what the Word of God says. It's not on how you feel. I don't care how you feel. Well, I don't care how you feel about it. I do care what God says about it. Well, my grandma felt. I don't care what your grandma felt. I don't even care what your grandma thought. And neither does God. He wants us to know what God says. We know what God thinks because we know what God said. Now, I'm not mad at anybody, but the only way I know what a preacher teaches is just like I'm going after snakes. I mean, I'm after them. Okay? Now, so why is this situation that a wonderful man, and he is a tremendous preacher, teacher, he's a wonderful man. Why would he even dare to say that there are more people not healed among us in our fellowship than healed after prayer for healing? Why would he dare to say that? Sounds almost blasphemous. In fact, I got mad when he told me. I said, that can't be true. He said, it is. And I've been on a crusade and a quest for the last 7 years, at least 7 years, on this subject. It upsets me. How could it be that Bible-believing, God-loving, Jesus-worshiping, holy-living people, there could be more people not healed than healed after prayer for healing? How can this be? I'm going to tell you. You get what you preach. There has been a drought upon preaching and teaching specifically about healing. We're interested in getting the most important thing, friend, is to be saved. And we preach about Holy Ghost, and we get Holy Ghost. We preach baptism in Jesus' name, and we get people baptized in Jesus' name. Right, Brother Fisher? And we preach about worship, and we get worship. We preach about rejoicing, and we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And we're not going to quit that. But somewhere along the line, it was not premeditated. It was not intentional. It just that it kind of went by the boards. Every once in a while we have a camp meeting, and the last night of the camp meeting we'll have a healing line, right? A lot of times. But that's about the most thing. And yet, if you'll notice in your Bibles tonight, in the book of Matthew, the 10th chapter, Jesus said this. The 10th chapter and the first verse. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples. Listen to this. Are you a disciple? Now, eventually the 12 disciples became the 12 apostles. Right? Okay. His 12 disciples. He gave them power against unclean spirits. Now, we still cast out unclean spirits. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out. Now listen to this. And to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Did you get that? To heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Now we know that no man can heal. But when we do what God says, we can heal all manner of sicknesses and diseases through Jesus. I'm nothing. You're nothing when it comes to that. Without Him, we can do nothing. But we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. All right. If you'll skip over to the 8th verse, Jesus is telling these individuals, heal the sick. Did Jesus say that? It's in red if you got a red letter Bible. He said, heal the sick. Okay. So why are God's people not receiving healing as promised as a whole? Has God changed? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Old Testament, he said, behold, I am the Lord, and I change not. So the answer is there is not much emphasis placed on healing. We say we believe in it. It's a part of our faith. I guarantee it's in the Articles of Faith of New Life Apostolic Church. I've never read them, never seen them. But I'm just sure it's there. Okay. Now, for faith to be effective, it must be. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Brother Fisher. God, I needed that. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So if we find out that God said He would heal us, it will not return again void. It will accomplish all He pleases. And I'm going to tell you, it pleases God to heal me or you. I know it pleases me when He heals me. Hallelujah. Now, all right, I got to stay on track here. So, God, has God changed? No. So, for faith to be effective, that faith that you already have in your heart. Now, I'm going to say one thing about the devil. And I'm done with him. He will lie to you and tell you you don't have enough faith. But I'm going to knock that sucker out right now. According that God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. And the reason He dealt it to you is because he that comes to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Don't even come for healing if you do not expect Him to heal you when you diligently seek Him. I'm not talking about take it or leave it. If I don't get healed, I got an appointment with the doctor tomorrow. I'm not talking about that foolishness. While I don't think it's evil or sinful to go to the doctor, don't come to this altar and say, well, I'm going to get prayed for, and if it don't work, I'm going to the doctor tomorrow. Or, oh, I'm going to take some Tylenol while Pastor prays. Is that faith? No, it's not faith. So, we've got to have, for faith to be effective, we have to have a foundation for it to rest on. And the psalmist said, thou hast magnified, magnify something means to make. He has magnified His word above all His name. Job said, I have esteemed. When you esteem something, you highly regard it. It is important. It's not frivolous or casual. He said, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. And we all know we got to eat. My mom used to tell me, if you don't eat, you're going to get sick. Well, okay. So, Job put God's word up here. The psalmist made it large. He magnified it. And so, faith has to rest on a foundation. So, for faith to have, to develop steadfast faith. Steadfast faith means faith that don't move. Doesn't move, excuse me. That's why the Bible talks about our living for God. We are to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Not hit and miss once in a blue moon. We're supposed to be steadfast, unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so we've got to have that steadfast faith. Hebrews said that, I'll skip that. So faith has to have a foundation to rest on. If we're going to have steadfast, you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you will receive the promise. We have, what is patience? Well, it's taking care of the kids and they're screaming. No. Patience in the Bible vernacular is enduring hardships or difficulties without murmuring. Well, I'm going to do what God said, but I just don't like it. I wish He hadn't said it. That's not patience. Let patience have her perfect work. So, now, let's go on. Romans 10:17. You know it. You've heard it. Write it down. Underline it. Highlight it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You can hear with your ears, but you can hear with your heart. You can see with your eyes, and you can see with your heart. Okay? Now, so how, if I'm going to have developed steadfast faith to receive healing or any promise of God for that matter, but right now we're on healing, we've got to know exactly what God said about it. If you don't know what God said about it, you are not going to have steadfast faith. It's not possible. It's not possible. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Matthew the 13th chapter, Jesus gave this parable. Matthew 13, starting with verse 5, you all know it. It's the parable of the sower. Verse 4, 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places, and where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, but they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, most of the time when we hear about the parable, a parable is an earthly story that it's a made-up story. But it teaches a spiritual truth. And most of the time when we talk about the parable of the sower, I'm going to read a little more here in a minute, we think about evangelism. Because these are the hearts of men. There's wayside people. There's stony ground people. And there's thorny ground people. And we're all looking for the good ground people. Right? And that's true. That's the lesson. But in seeking after the Lord, I'm not one of these spiritualizer preachers. I'm a literal preacher. Seeking after the Lord on this subject of healing. And the Lord brought this passage to me. When he interprets the passage, he says this. Let's look at verse 15. Oh, yeah. For this people's heart is waxed gross, that means heavy, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, listen to this, and should understand with their heart and should be converted and should be healed. I should heal them. So this relates to healing as well. The Word said it did. Now, let's look at verse 17 where he starts to interpret it. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. Now, other gospels tell us that the seed is the word, but it's implied here or inferred. And so what happens in a congregation when we preach about and teach on healing, there are those that the seed of the word, their wayside, compacted hard concrete, hard clay. And before they get out of church, the devil steals that seed of the word out of their heart. They can't even tell you what was preached. Hope there's nobody here like that. And then he says, which was sown in his heart, this is the he that receives seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon, or passage of time, with joy receiveth it, gets excited, yet hath not root in himself, but dureth, that means they hold on to it for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by they are offended. Okay. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Stony ground and thorny ground speaks of unbelief. We're talking about steadfast faith. When the sun arises on the stony ground, it withered, right? And when the cares of life, other things happened, they didn't do any good. And that speaks to me of unbelief. Now, you say, really, Brother Ulrich? Really, Brother Ulrich? Yes. Okay. Now, let me read to you just a little bit more. But the good ground, it said that he received the word. He also that receiveth seed, he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it, which also beareth fruit, bringing forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. God wants you to understand the word. The first mention of a Bible study in the Bible is in the book of Ezra. The first mention of a pulpit is in Ezra. And after they came back from the Babylonian captivity, they had changed their language to Aramaic, and they did not understand the Hebrew language. So Ezra put a pulpit up, and he taught them the law and gave them the sense of it. And by the way, they stood up all day. I don't know what that's about, but the point I want you to understand, he gave them the sense, the meaning of what God's word says. That's what teaching is. And so the good ground that receives the seed of the word, and we're talking on the subject of healing tonight. I hope there's good ground tonight. I'm counting on it. I'm looking for it. Not for me, but for God's glory. Have you ever had the light bulb go on for you? You know what I mean? No, some of you don't. When you're reading something that you've not really understood, and all of a sudden, presto, bangle, whammy, dude, I got it! That happened to me many times. There's some things in the Bible I got questions about. I don't understand them just yet. But that don't mean I don't believe God's word. I do believe His word. I've told God, I believe what you said. I don't understand it yet. Give me understanding. But one day in my office, the light bulb went on for me on this subject. I was in tremendous pain and had been in pain for days in and days out. I'd been hunting with Pastor Fisher over in Maricopa, and one night after killing a deer over there, we were coming home, and I'm going to tell you, if you ever follow Brother Fisher anywhere, he is like Jehu. I mean, he rides furiously. And he had this powerful ATV, and I had a Honda. It got me where I wanted to go. It'll go anywhere I want to go, but not as fast as his was. And so I've got a deer on the front of my quad, and I got an ice chest on the back, and we're headed for home. It's about 9 o'clock at night, and we're in these mountains, hills, they're going like this. And Brother Fister, I really don't know for sure the way home, and I got to stick up close to him. If I hunt with Brother Fisher, you're going to find me one place. You're going to find me about 4 steps behind him. Right, Pastor? Because I get lost easy, and I don't intend to get lost. And I know he's going to see the game before I ever see it, and I want the first shot. Right, Pastor? Sometimes I shoot when it's somebody else's challenge. I've done that before, too. But nevertheless, I did that one time. Nevertheless, I'm trying to keep up with him. I got that little old Honda 4-track 300. I got it cranked up, and I'm scared stiff because I'm a new rider. I didn't start riding one of them things until 1998. And I was up in my 50s, almost 60s, well, 50s, late 50s. And I'm trying to keep up, and he's getting further and further ahead. I can just barely see his taillights. And I went over this little hill, and I was going way too fast for my skill. And all of a sudden, I realized I'm going too fast. So I put down on the brakes in the air, locked up all 4 wheels in the air. And I'm squeezing for dear life, hanging on. Well, when I hit the ground, buddy, there was something. Things in motion tend to stay in motion. And, buddy, I went over the handlebars of that thing. I had my rifle on me, and I went over the handlebars flying through the air. I must have done at least a complete I did a complete flip in the air, and I landed on my behind in the middle of the road. And I looked up, and as I looked up, here come that quad right down on top of me. And I remember saying, oh, Jesus, 800 pounds coming down. And then it bent me over my face in the ground. I was listening for bones to break, but nothing broke but my knee. Something went wrong in my knee. And I roofed houses, and I worked on my knees, and I as a result, Brother Fisher knows, and I had to drive 2 hours to get home. And I was from that point on, both knees, I had horrible pain all the time. I was taking pain medication. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't ride. I couldn't climb the steps to my church to go up to the balcony. There was 16 steps. It was murderous. But in my office, one day, the lights went on. And I read Matthew 8:17. It says, now this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself bore our iniquities, or bore our infirmities. And the light went on. I don't know. I've probably read that scripture hundreds of times, but it didn't sink. But that day I got understanding. And I remember standing there. I remember tears rolling down my face. The foundation of steadfast faith was born. And I said, Jesus, if you carried my infirmity, I do not have to carry this, not one more. And from that point in time, I begin to thank God for healing my knees. That must have gone on. I mean, I woke up in the night in pain. I was in pain in my truck. I was in pain. I couldn't even shout if I wanted to. I couldn't do it. I used to get up on the platform like this. It was like knives in my knees. But I begin to thank God, if you've carried my infirmity, I do not have to carry this anymore. And every time a pain would go through my body, I didn't tell anybody. It was me and God. I said, God, I thank you for healing my knees. And one Sunday night, Brother Boss, I was on the platform and the saints and were worshiping. And I was standing there kind of moving my hips. That's all I could do. That, you know, looked like I was. That's all I could do. I wanted to do more, but I couldn't. I felt like doing more, but I couldn't. Sister Jackie, I was standing about like this. And people were running and shouting and rejoicing. And I was just loving God. I felt so good at God. And all of a sudden, I opened my eyes. And I said, my God, I don't have any pain. So I went. And I kind of boogied a little. I don't know anybody else. I was just testing it out. God, I always wanted to dance, but I didn't know how. And music moves me, man. You don't think somebody does. Anyway, nevertheless. And so I thought, well, God, this is wonderful. I don't have any pain. Thank you, Jesus. And I said, well, I don't know how to dance, but I know how to run. Hallelujah. And man, bow, I led around that. I made about 3 or 4 laps around that auditorium, and I got back there. I was so out of breath. I thought, this is wonderful. From that day until Easter of last year, I had no knee pain. I'm going somewhere, so just hang on. I know me better than I know any of you. And when God healed my knees, I've said, God, you have healed my knees. I promise you, I will take care of them. What good is it? God heal me. I go out and tear it up again. How dumb can you be? You know? And I said, Jesus, I will take care. And I'm telling you, I protected my knees. I still roofed houses. I still played golf. I still climbed mountains. But I always was careful with my knees. But last Easter, we had a picnic. I don't know where my brain was, but it wasn't where it ought to be. I got it in my brain, I want to play softball. I'm 68 years old. I don't have no business playing softball. And so I got out in the outfield where I should never have been. And I'm running and chasing balls and I'm throwing them and I'm feeling so good. But when I got up Monday morning, I was in big trouble. And I thought, oh God, what have I done? And conviction came on me. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know how long it was, the time frame, 2 or 3 months to when Brother Langford preached here the last time. I think it was probably 3 months from April to then. I spent 3 months repenting. I went to the doctor. They injected my knees. Cost $1,400 a knee to inject it. Didn't do any good. Got worse. I got to where I couldn't get around. I spent $100 for a brace for my right knee so I could walk and go to work. I took handfuls of hydrocodone. In fact, I got to a place where I was afraid I was addicted because I couldn't go to sleep at night if I didn't take it. I just twitch and jerk, and that scared me. But I'm telling you, I spent 3 months repenting. But sitting right where Sister Anita's sitting, when Brother Langford said that night, God wants to heal somebody tonight, I said, let it be me. And I felt God heal my knee. Something moved in my knee. I packed that sucker brace up, and it's in the closet, in the box it came in. I've not worn it since that moment, and I've not had one bit of pain. I want to tell you, God's word will not return again, boy. Sometimes people don't get healed because they need to repent. Read, we're going to read it in a minute. We'll read it in a little bit. Somebody said, oh, it's God's will for me to be. It is not God's will for you to be sick. It is not God's will for us to be in pain. If He carried our pain, He didn't intend for us to carry it anymore. Now, don't get scary on me. I'm telling you the Word of God. His Word will not return again void. It will accomplish all He chooses. Amen. And so, the foundation is here. Let's go to it. James 1, 6 through 9. I hope you're taking some notes. This is going to how to develop steadfast faith. James 1 says this, 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That's what steadfast is. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now listen, the wavering man. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now that's as plain as you can get it. So it ain't going to get nothing from God. If you waver, if you one day you think so, the next day you don't know. One day you think it's the will of God, the next day you don't know if it's the will of God. And one day you think, well, it's the will of God for me to be sick. No! You can't think like that. We got to have steadfast faith. Hallelujah. Amen. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Okay, that's as far as we need. So wavering and double-mindedness is not going to develop steadfast faith. It's going to cause you to crash and burn and be discouraged. And then you'll start thinking, well, maybe it's God's will for me to suffer. You can't find that in the Bible. It's not there. Now, there is suffering for righteousness because of how we live, the truth, the doctrine. You've suffered with some of your family. And there is suffering if you do wrong. I'm going to tell you, you're going to suffer. That's why the Bible said, he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Because when you've done wrong, you're going to be miserable. And you're going to be miserable until you make it right. Amen. So James said, we've got to watch out. Got to get rid of wavering and double-mindedness. 2 Corinthians 1, 20 and 21 says, oh, I'm way past Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 1, 20 and 21. Oh, no, 19 and 20, excuse me. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, not yes one day, no the next day. But in him was yea. Now listen to this. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. And the promise we're talking about tonight is healing. Now, I'm going to give you the scripture on that in just a minute. Praise God. Let me get ahead. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3. We're on the promises of God. God's promise is yea and amen. That means yes and that let it happen. Okay, that's what yea means. Yes. Everybody say yes. When you say amen to something that's being preached, you better be careful. You're going to say, let it happen. So you be careful how you shoot your mouth off. All right. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Remember, He has magnified His word above all His name. All right.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. He's going to name them here. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Do you believe that? Yeah, we do. But notice this. Who healeth all thy diseases. Did you get that? Hallelujah. That's a promise. It's a benefit. And He said, the promises of God are yes and amen. They're really going to happen. It's not yes tonight, maybe tomorrow, and no the next day. They're yes and amen. Hallelujah. What God's Word says. Are you with me?
Real quick. I need everybody to stand right now. Brother Raphael's in the trauma room right now. They took him into the trauma room. He's having major problems. I'm fixing to leave right now to go to the hospital. So let's all stand right now. Let's pray for Brother Raphael. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You once again. We know that You are the healer, as Brother Allred has been teaching. Heavenly Father, I rebuke this thing that has come against him. God, let the Holy Ghost, Your divine spirit, Your power, God, Your word, God, come against this sickness that has come against his body. In Jesus' name, we bind together as a church body. We bind together as the people of God. And we ask of You to touch him. Touch him. Heal him. Oh God, that we can believe it. That we can receive it. Oh God, in Jesus' name, we bring this before Your throne. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And real quick, before I leave and let him finish, Brother Allred now is going to be one of the, he's going to be working with me as the go-to person. If you can't get a hold of me, or even if you can, feel free. He's going to give you his phone number. He's going to be one of the men that works directly with me, going and praying for those in the hospital, those that are sick, and I give him a call. So don't be afraid of calling him. Pray for me as I leave to go to the hospital.
Amen. Write this down. 805-558-0638. I work usually from 9 to 2, or I'm on a short schedule now, but 5 days a week, 9 to 2. Do not worry about if it's late at night, 3 o'clock in the morning. Don't matter. My phone's on 24/7. If you need prayer, call me. I'm not saying that boastfully. The Lord is moving me in that direction. 805, that's a local number, 805-558-0638. I will get out of bed, or I may lay in bed and pray, but I'm going to touch God to the best of my ability. All right, you can be seated. So don't worry about the time there. Amen. Now, Psalm 103, it says, He heals all our diseases. And it is defined as a benefit, which is a promise that God has made to us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, there are two types of healings. There is the instant miraculous healing, like happened to me that night. I've been instantly healed several times, but most of the time it falls in the second category of healing, and that is recovery healing. The Bible specifically says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That means you're going to recover your health quicker than you would have if you'd have gone to the doctor and took all 24 pills. I'm not criticizing the doctors. I've been to the doctor. They said, take all of these pills. If you feel better, keep taking them till they're all gone. And since I spent the money to go to the doctor, I took them all. Not at one time, but. Okay. Now, all of us, this is where steadfast faith comes in. All of us want to be instantly healed. And I thank God He instantly heals. But what happens if we don't get instantly healed? We start to question if it's the will of God to be healed or not. Now I'm going to tell you something. I have people, preacher friends, good men. They love God. They're godly. They're holy.
They love the truth. But they have an opinion that God doesn't heal everybody. And so when they pray, they say, God, if it's your will, I know you're able, but if it's your will, heal Sister da-da-da-da-da or Brother da. This may sound presumptuous and cocky to you, but if I'm sick and you're praying for me and I hear you say, God, if it's your will, do not be shocked if I just turn around and walk away. I don't want anybody praying for me like that. That doesn't mean I think I'm better than anybody. But when God says He's going to heal me. Now, if I don't get healed immediately, you know what I do? I go to prayer and say, God, is there something wrong in my life? Have I sinned? Have I been disobedient? Have I messed up somewhere? I'm expecting Him to tell me. Because God don't punish His kids without telling them why. And sometimes sickness is a chastisement. To do what? To make me suffer? No. So that I will repent and be healed. See? Okay. And so, there's a lot said about if it's God's will. I told you I've been on a quest for 7 years. I have read this New Testament over and over and over. Slowly, carefully, meticulously, looking for a verse, a teaching that talked about if it was God's will to heal people. I have never found a verse that said anything about whether it was the will of God or not to heal. I have found out that He said, I am the God that healeth all thy diseases. Why is that important? This is the confidence that we have in Him. Listen, 1 John 2:20-21, I think. Anyways, 1 John. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know He hears us, we know. Not think or wish or hope, but we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. So if I'm spending all my time praying, God, if it's your will, heal me, I'm way off base. I'm not going to get anything. But when I come to Him, and we did you read there, and do you remember reading in the next verse though, of Psalm 138? 3, it says, He heareth us when we call on Him. He hears us. So when I know then the Scripture says it's His will to heal me, then I don't have to waste no time on that. I just say, Lord, I know You hear me. And because I know You hear me, I know You're going to answer me, whether instantly or I'm going to recover. And I begin to rejoice in the Lord over that. I begin to thank Him. I don't go around and tell everybody, the Lord healed me if I haven't got the healing yet. I don't put it on Facebook, God heal me when I haven't got the healing yet. Oh, I put it on there in faith. Baloney. It's between me and God. And I'm going to thank Him every day. I'm going to offer the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of my lips. Giving thanks unto His name. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to magnify Him personally between me. God, and I'm going to praise Him that His word is true. He's magnified His word above all of His name. His name is precious. It's powerful. But I know about His word, His name through His word. And so I grab a hold of it. Now, at this present moment, I have type 2 diabetes. And every once in a while I have to go to the doctor and they suck some blood out of me. And I went to my doctor the other day. Nice guy. I really like him. I like him a lot. He said, you should be taking insulin. I said, I'm not taking insulin. Well, then we're going to be cutting off legs and fingers. I said, I am not, doctor. I am not going to take insulin. And I have a condition that goes with that, peripheral neuropathy. Very painful. And I take some pain medication for it. But when I walked out of that doctor's office, I said to him, God, okay, God, it's time I got real serious about this. I am not going to take insulin. If I fall over dead tomorrow, I am not going to do it. And so I purposed in my heart, God's got to do something. I'm telling you, my God is a healer. The healer. And He means what He says. He says what He means. And so I'm telling you, I have to struggle with that. I got to poke my finger every morning, squeeze a drop of blood out. I get so sick of that, it drives me nuts. But when we know that we ask according to His will, He hears us. That comforts my spirit. The doctor, I wanted to tell the doctor, hey, doctor, you don't know God. I do. And you ain't cutting my legs off. You're not cutting nothing off of me. Because God hadn't said yet. And He's going to talk. Are you with me tonight? I'm not saying that braggadociously. I'm saying it how I live in my life, how I feel. I want to thank God tonight that I was raised in an atmosphere of faith. I was raised in an atmosphere of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, some teach that it's God's will for us to suffer so that God will get glory. God doesn't get any glory out of you suffering. If somebody told you that, they were lying to you. That's not in the Bible. Now, if I suffer as a Christian, I'm persecuted. I'm not out there throwing blows with somebody or they're trying to persecute me because I baptized in Jesus' name or something like that. That's suffering. If I start throwing bowls, I'm not doing the will of God. But I'm talking about suffering with sickness and pain, so forth and so on. And so, I was raised in an atmosphere of faith. And what that simply means is we did what the Bible said. When I got sick, I said, Mom, got to get a hold of Brother Treadway. Well, we'll call him in the morning. No, you're going to call him right now. But it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't care. He got to work tomorrow. I don't care. The Bible said, call. I just wired backwards, I guess. I don't know. But I do know this. My pastor never failed when I said, Brother Treadway, I'm sick and I need you right now. If he was at work, his wife passed him a message. When he got off work, he came. If it was 3 o'clock in the morning, he came. And you know what happened? The Bible said they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I just got up out of bed. I'm okay, Pastor. I'll be all right. I went back to school. You can't ask my mom. She's dead. I got these little certificates. I didn't miss one day of school. I wanted to. Not at my house. You're going. Get up, get dressed, get out. No, I don't feel good. Too bad. You're going to school. You understand what I mean? You say, well, what happened, Brother Orrin? The Lord healed me. I mean, I thought that happened to everybody. I was shocked when I heard others it didn't happen to them. I'm not because I'm holy. I was a devil. That was before I got saved. I was a ringtail devil. And yet God had compassion on me because I took Him at His word. Call for the elders. Call for the elder. He laid hands on me. I got healed. Simple as that. Not because I was good. I was evil. But God's word will not return again void. And when you approach things like that, this is what God said. I got to move on. Isaiah 53, 1 through 5. You all know it, don't you? Well, let's read it. It starts off with, who hath believed our report? There it is. Steadfast faith. who has believed our report. Listen to this. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? When God flexes His muscles, who sees it? God pops that big gun up. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows. You got sorrows tonight? Have you been depressed? He's a man of sorrows. And acquainted with grief. Are you grieving over something tonight? It's not a shame to grieve. We all go there at times of time. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. Now that word grief, if you look it up in Strong's exhaustive concordance, the word grief means diseases. For he hath borne our griefs or diseases and carried our sorrows. The word sorrow in the Hebrew is translated pain. Do you get that tonight? That it says he hath carried our pain. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. That means the punishment for sin was upon him. All right? And with his stripes we are healed. That's the word. Peter quoted it in the New Testament, and he said, by whose stripes ye were healed. Done. Business, sign, delivered. God was wounded for our transgressions, and with his stripes we are healed. When you are sick, you need to dial in on the blood, the stripes laid on Jesus' back. I cannot imagine it. I've tried to imagine it. Every time I read it, tears begin to go down my face to think that 39 stripes from a cat of nine tails ripped the flesh off of the bones of Jesus, almost disemboweling him. And he did that so that I could be healed and you could be healed. How dare we not dial in on that? Why can't we focus on that? He loved us that much. Oh, it's God's will for me to hurt. No, it's not. He carried my pain already. Why should I pack it around? Oh, God. If you're hurting right now, you need to be focusing on Jesus right now. Oh, God. Your hands ought to be saying, Jesus, I don't want to carry this one more day. You carried my pain. You bore it. We got to get it off the page into here. If we're going to have a steadfast faith. You ask my wife. One time when I first became pastor of Ventura, I got that horrible, horrible flu. My daughter and I had it at the same time. We were taking turns in the bathroom. You know, I'd say, hurry up and get out of there. She'd say, hurry up, Dad, get out of there. And at the same time, I'm throwing up. My feet, when I get a little fever past 101 degrees, I go delirious. I say dumb stuff. Right, Sister Laura? And they were making fun of me. I was laying on the couch, throwing up in a pan, and I was quoting the scriptures. And she said, Dad, and my daughter said, Dad, what are you doing? I didn't even know what I was doing. The Word of God, my wife will tell you, one scripture after another. I don't know what they were about, but I do know I had God's Word in my heart. And I do know that God's Word will not return again void. And I do know that He hears me when I pray. Whether I know I'm conscious or unconscious, He hears me.
woke up praying.
You say, Brother Howard, you're spiritual.
No, I'm not that spiritual. I'm just telling you, it's ingrained, hardwired into me. Now, Jesus said in Matthew, and keep that in mind, by his stripes we're healed. Matthew, we're talking about a foundation. I don't have time to read it. Read Matthew 7, 24 and 25. It says, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rains came, and the winds blow, and the flood beat against it. And it fell not, because it was founded upon a rock. I'm going to tell you, when you start believing God to heal you, there's all kinds of wind, rain, and flood going to come. There's going to be people, oh, my grandma died of that, and my cousin had that. And he... Get away! The symptoms are there. You don't look at the symptoms. You look at Jesus. You hear me? You look at Jesus. His promises are yes and amen. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the thermometer says my fever is 103. I don't care if it's 110. Jesus is my healer. Well, you better get to the doctor if you don't get to the doctor. I know a doctor. His name is Jesus. I appreciate everything the doctor said, some good things for me. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus don't charge. And I'm a tightwad when it comes to that. Hallelujah. Now, Proverbs 4. What was that foundation? He that hears these sayings of mine and does them is like a wise man that built his house on what? A rock. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. Who is that rock? Jesus. Proverbs. Now, this will be constructive. How to develop steadfast faith. And it's right in your Bible. And so you can underline it and you need to read it. I don't expect you to memorize it, but read it. Proverbs 4, 20 through 27. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. You got to get it in your ears, from your head to your heart. Why should we keep it in thine heart? For, remember, he said, thy words, keep it in the midst of thine heart. For they, that is his words, are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth. What's a froward mouth in this case? Well, I don't know if God heard me. I don't know if it's will to heal me. I don't know if it's... That's a froward mouth. It's a wrong kind of talking. And perverse lips far from thee. That's talking it out, you know. Let thine eyes... It's talking about the eyes of your heart. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. In other words, you're dialed in on what God says. You're not bad-mouthing God. You're not talking negative. You're not... No, I don't know if it's God's will or not. But God's Word said it is His will. So don't charge God with that. And you keep your mind straight on what God's Word says about it. The pain gets worse. The rash gets worse. You're throwing up more than you were. Look straight ahead. We're not talking about mind over matter. I'm not talking about denying nothing. I'm talking about looking straight at God and His Word. You need tunnel vision. Okay, are you with me? Some of you aren't believing me. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So there we got repentance. If you will do that,
and stick to it, you will develop a steadfast faith. You will have confidence in what God said rather than man said. You'll have confidence in that rather than what you see or hear. You'll be dialed right in. Can you say amen? I just read the Bible to you. Now, James said, nothing wavering. The guy that wavers doesn't get anything. I'm trying to come to a close here. Now, I heard something at the pastor's minister's retreat that set my soul on fire. And I've been shouting in my heart about it ever since. Psalm 103, verse 20 says, bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excelleth in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. When we, right now, this is why I can hardly wait to get to church. I am speaking to you the voice of God's word. Have I got out of the Bible? Do you know what's standing right beside me, behind me, and around me? Is His angels. They keep His commandments. And when I'm speaking God's word, they listen.
Amen.
Right now, Brother Shaw, the angels are listening to All Red preach. A lot of people don't like me to preach, but I'm telling you, they do. Because I preach His word. I'm going to give you scripture. The angels of the Lord encampeth around them that fear Him and delivereth them. Who maketh His angels ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them that are the heirs of salvation. Now you hear a lot of dumb stuff about angels. There's people sending angels here and there. There ain't nobody sending no angel anywhere except Jesus. One guy said, I got a guardian angel. Everybody's got a guardian angel. Your children do. The Bible says their angels do always behold the Father's face. But this guy said, I got an angel. He's a famous preacher. I got an angel. He looks just like me. He's 9 foot tall. Baloney. But His angels right here tonight, they're backing up God's word. Buddy, it gives me boldness. I don't care what anybody says. Why? Because they listen to hear God's word. And I'm preaching God's word tonight. I'm doing the best I know how. It may be crummy, but it's the best I can do. I want to drive this home tonight. Steadfast faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say amen. Now let's bring this down. There's angels here tonight. Hallelujah. They come to church all the time. Some people are worried about the devil coming to church. I couldn't give a plug nickel where the devil goes. He means nothing to me. He's less than spit. He's nothing. I don't care what he thinks or says or tries. God is my refuge. He is my strong tower. I run into Him and I'm saved. I can resist the devil, rebuke the devil, and say, get out of here. Amen. And he's got to go. Now, James, 5th chapter, let's tie this together. I thank you for your patience. Saints, I hope you're grabbing this. It says in James 5, is any among you afflicted? Now, an affliction can be something other than a sickness. An affliction can also be a trouble, a trial, a weakness that you have. What should you do? Call for the elders of church? No, you pray. If you want victory over cussing, don't ask me to lay hands on you. You pray. And you say, God, I got a black, filthy, dirty, rotten, profane, vulgar mouth. And I need it fixed. You're getting somewhere now. But if you pass the buck to Brother Shaw and say, pray for me that I won't cuss no more, you're not going to get nowhere. You've got to pray. If you're a liar, don't ask me to pray for you for lying. Pray for yourself. I sound like I'm mean. I'm not. Okay. Read Psalm 119, 65 through 72 about affliction. Now let's go on. Let him pray. Is any merry or anybody happy? Let him sing psalms. Okay. Now, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now listen, I don't have no sympathy. If you're sick, you didn't call for the elders of the church, you laid home. If you're sick for 3 weeks, sorry, I don't feel much sympathy for you. Why should I have to call? Pastor Fisher knows I'm sick. How come he didn't come pray for me? That's not what the Bible said. By the fact that you call, you are obeying the word, and God's word will not return again void. It will accomplish all he pleases. Okay? Now, you probably better fasten your seatbelt right now. Let's raise the rest of it. Let him call for the elders of the church. Who is an elder? Hurry, sister, we need that again. Who is an elder? The word elder in the New Testament, Greek, the Greek word is presbyteros. It means overseer, pastor. Elders, there's two kinds. There's elders that are elders by virtue of their calling. They are a pastor. God called them a pastor. If they're 16 years old, they're an elder. Their position, overseer. There are elders that are elders by virtue of age and experience. Okay? Are you with me? That's who you're supposed to call. Now, that's, and what shall they do? Let's see. And let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. What's the Lord's name? Jesus. Sister, somebody have asked me the other night, why do we anoint with oil? It's probably mineral oil. Maybe baby oil. Could be 530 weight. I don't know. Doesn't matter. We use oil for two reasons. First of all, God commanded it. And second of all, oil in the Bible is always a type of the Holy Ghost. There's no power in this bottle. The power comes when you call for the elders of church. And they anoint you. You call for the pastor or an elder that is an elder by age and experience. They anoint you with oil, lay hands on you in the name of the Lord. What's the Bible say? And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. What is the prayer of faith? I've been praying about that. There's nothing in the Bible that defines it other than you pray with the expectation that God will keep his word. Amen. And the Lord shall raise him up. And here it says, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Do you see? There is a sometimes connection between sin and sickness. Not always. Sometimes. So what I'm saying to you, call for the elders. Now, I don't want to offend anybody, but we got to stick with the Bible. If you read 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2, it tells the elder is a pastor. Okay? Now, Titus 2, 3 and 4. Don't get mad. I want you to just read it when you get home. Or I'm going to read it now, and we're going to stand. Let's stand together. I'm through. I had a bunch more to say, but let's just stay there. Titus 2, this is a pastoral epistle. Here's what Titus said. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. There is no mention in the Bible of any women elders. And by certainly they are not to lay hands on people. The elder, the pastor, the bishop, and elders by virtue of age and experience are to anoint with oil in the name of Jesus. And the Lord will raise you up. Now, I don't want to get you mad. I'm not a male chauvinist. That's not it at all. I'm just reading the Bible. That's what I shape my life after. And so tonight, let it be determined in your heart. God didn't promise us divine health, but He did to promise us divine healing. There's a difference. One guy came out preaching, "Never Die." William Branham. And he's deader than a mackerel. He said he was never going to die. He's dead. And he was a false prophet. But the Bible did promise us divine healing. Amen. How about if we worship Him right now? Thank Him for His promise. If you're sick, if you're hurting right now, I would invite you to come. I was hoping Pastor would be here and he would pray for you. But he's designated me one of the guys to pray for you. If you're sick and you're hurting physically right now, you come. Jesus is here. His holy angels are backing up what we preach tonight. I don't have to confirm it. He will. Hallelujah. Come boldly. Come right over here. Come boldly. I want you to put your mind on Jesus right now. Saints, you worship and believe God right now.